These are the words that God spoke to Joshua when God called Joshua to lead the people of Israel into the promised land. Now, as you know, the story is much bigger than that. God made a promise to Abraham hundreds of years before this and told Abraham, you and your descendants will own this land. And he was talking about the land of Canaan, the land that Joshua was going to lead the people into. And we know that then there was Isaac and then there was Jacob, and they lived in that land, but they didn't possess the land. They had to wait for the promise patiently. And God had to do some things in the people, Isaac and Jacob, and of course the brothers, Jacob's sons. And of course we know the story that God used Joseph to deliver the people of Israel from a famine and protect them. And we know the story of how God used Moses to deliver the people of Israel out of Egypt, out of slavery that they were in for 430 years. And then we know that they wandered in the desert for 40 years because of their own stubbornness and fear and such. And yet now the time had come. Now the time had come. And here's Joshua, and he's standing by that Jordan River, and God is saying to Joshua, it's time. This generation is ready to go in. It's time. See, there's times to receive a promise. There's times where you hear a word from God, where you see a promise in the Bible and you say, yes, Lord, amen, thank you. And that's important. You can't possess a promise if you don't receive the promise. You've got to receive it. There's times to receive a promise. There's times to wait for a promise. There are things probably that the Lord has promised you or that are in the Bible, and you need to wait for them. Some promises do not come instantly. Most of them don't. And even many promises will increase little by little in our lives if we'll walk them out. And so there's times to wait for a promise like Isaac did and like Jacob and such. And then there's times to take the promise. There comes a time where you don't just receive the promise. There comes a time where you don't just wait for the promise. There comes a time where it's time to take the land. And God is telling Joshua, it is time. And he says in verse 2, rise up, arise, get up, go. Move into that promised land. Lead those Israelites. Take them across the Jordan River. And take that land because I have promised it to you. I have given it to you. It is your inheritance and it's time to take it. And he tells them that it's their territory. It's their inheritance. It's their land. It's their promised land. And we saw last week how just as God has a calling on Joshua, God has a calling on your life. And just as God has a promised land for the Israelites, which, by the way, they're still living in to this day, even though they've gotten kicked out a bunch of times and such, they're back in the land because it's the land that God promised them. In the same way, we as believers have a promised land from God. And what that promised land is are all the promised blessings in the Bible. And I'm not just making that up, because even the promised land for the Israelites was full of promises of blessings, like Deuteronomy 28 that we've talked about. And here we are in Christ, the Bible says. We're in Christ. And because we're in Christ, we're not only heirs of God, we're also heirs of Abraham. So we receive all those covenant promises that God made to Abraham and to the Israelites. In fact, that's confirmed in 2 Corinthians 1:20, where it says, for all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. They're yes. And so you could say that our promised land is right here in the Bible. All the promises, every chapter, every verse, every line, every promise in the book is mine. This is our territory. And so last week we saw, and I felt like the Lord was speaking to us, to you and me, saying, if you're going to enter your promised land, you have to enter my word. You've got to get the word in you before you can get the will of God out of you. It's God's word that will prepare you to possess your promised land. And so a lot of times, the reason why we're not ready to go in and take it is because we don't see it. We don't know. Think about it. If you had tons of promises, if you had inherited tons of wealth from somebody, but nobody told you, how would you know it was yours? And here we are as believers with promise after promise after promise from a God who cannot be stopped, who is for us and not against us. And yet so many times we don't know what the promises are. And God told Joshua in a verse, in that verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. Why did he tell him that? Because he knew we've got to get into the word. He knew even Joshua needed to be in the word, reading it and studying it and meditating on it and preaching it back to himself so that he would be convinced, so that he'd have clarity, so that he would have confidence, so that he'd be convinced of what God said, that what God said is true, and that, like we make in that declaration, I can have what God says I can have. I can do what God says I can do. I can be the person that God says I can be. See, God has a territory for you. He has a calling on your life. He created you for a purpose, and he has promised blessings that he has made to you. They're all over the Bible. They're for all of us who are believers. And yet the Holy Spirit takes from these promises and can personalize them to you. Your calling's not the same as my calling. Your life is not the same as my life. What you're facing is not the same as what I'm facing. And so you need the Lord by the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit who wrote the Bible. You need the Holy Spirit to come to you and reveal to you how he's going to come through for you, how he's going to fulfill these promises for you. You need to hear it. You need to see it. And so therefore, before you can really have the confidence and the wisdom and the strength and the ability and the favor from God to enter in and take hold of your promises and take hold of the things that God has for you, you've got to get in the Word. I heard a story this week from Pastor Jerry, our senior pastor over all the rock, and he shared this story. I thought it was profound. He shared a story about a man who longed to come to America to restart his life. He was living in Europe and such, and this is back in the 1800s when people were just flocking to America, the land of opportunity and such. And so he saved his money. He worked hard and he saved his money until he could buy a ticket to get on a ship to come across the Atlantic Ocean to come to America to start his life over again. And all his hopes were in this. And so he did. He saved up his money and he got the ticket and he got on that boat, but he barely had enough money for the ticket. Didn't have anything left over. He was coming to the new world, as people would call it back in those days. He was coming with nothing. But he was happy to be on the boat. He was just glad to be there. And he was full of hope that things were going to change for him. He was going to, you know, find land and farm and all that stuff. So he was excited. And at first, he just endured the fact that he was hungry, you know? But after a little while, man, he started to get real hungry, real weak, and he'd walk around the ship, and he'd see people enjoying activities, and he'd see people eating in the restaurant, and he'd sometimes just look longingly and just see them eating, and he was starving. And one day, the captain of the ship noticed this man, and noticed that he was just staring through the window and looking at the food. And the captain was moved with compassion. The captain went over to him and said, you know, sir, I noticed that you just look in through the window, but you don't go in and eat. And the gentleman said, oh, let me explain. I saved all my money and I barely could afford a ticket. I could barely afford this ticket, but I'm just so glad to be on the ship, but I don't have any more money. And the captain said, sir, all these meals were included in the price of the ticket. See, he went hungry for no reason, only that he didn't know. Amen. And how many believers and how many areas in your life do you go without because you don't know what you have? Amen. And how will you know if you don't search out your territory? If you don't go through the land and look at the land and see what God has for you. You know, that captain is like the Holy Spirit, isn't he? That captain is like the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit We need the Holy Spirit to come alongside of us and say, hey, it's included in the price of tickets. Some of us, we're just glad to be saved, glad that we're going to heaven, glad that we're not going the other direction. And you know what? Amen. I've met many Christians, they say, God doesn't have to do anything for me ever. I'm just so grateful that he saved me. And you know what? That is true. He doesn't owe us anything. He didn't even owe us salvation. He died for us because he loves us. That's it. We don't deserve it. And I am grateful for eternal life and that my sins are forgiven, and that is enough. But you know, that's not all he died for. And if he paid for all the promises, then why don't we take hold of them? We need to take hold of them. Can somebody say amen to that? Now look at this. In verse 11, the Lord pointed something out to me here in verse 11. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 11, it says, God told Joshua, tell the people, pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves. For within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. So this promise is hundreds of years old. God has said to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob and to Joseph and to Moses, he'd made promise generation after generation, I will do this. And even when you have to wait for it, the delay is not a denial. But now it's time. See, there are some things even today that you may have to wait for the Lord to do. But I believe 2018 is a year where you will go in and possess your promised land. It may be one particular area, I don't know. But there are some promises in your life where you might have to wait. There are some promises you may not even know about, you need to learn about them. But I believe for many of you, it's not time to wait. There's some areas in your life, and the Lord's going to speak to you and show you. It's not time to wait. It's not time to just, I'm going to patiently wait for God. No, the Lord is saying, get up, arise, go, take the land that I've called you to take. And notice what God is saying through Joshua. God told Joshua, hey, it's time to go, it's time to go. How quickly? Yeah, I know it's time to go, Lord. Maybe next year. I know, Lord, maybe in a few months. I know, Lord, you know, when I'm ready. Lord, you know, the situation, you get out of the... No, he's saying, in 3 days. It's right now. 3 days. So he's telling them, prepare yourself. Prepare your heart. Prepare your life. Prepare your physical provisions. Get your sword. Get your family together. It is time to get up. And they're going to cross through that Jordan River, even though the Jordan River is overflowing its banks. They got little kids. How are these little kids going to go across the Jordan? It's flooding. The water is rushing. It's not safe to cross. You've got this Jordan River. You've got Jericho on the other side. You've got giant men, warriors on the other side. You've got all this possibility of failure. You have all these fears staring them down, and God is saying, get ready, it's time. In 3 days, it's time to possess your land. And I believe some of you have heard promises in 2017, maybe even from coming to this church, or maybe there's things he spoke to even earlier than that, and I believe 2018 is the year to possess it. Now, what's interesting about this, he says, in 3 days, he says, you will possess it. So prepare yourself. And so I sense to invite you to spend the next 3 days in prayer and fasting. Now you'll need to talk to the Lord about that. But here's what we're going to do. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 3 days. Spend some time in prayer and fasting to seek the Lord. Let's start this year right. Let's start this year seeking the Lord. And so last week, if you remember, we passed out Bible journal last year. Did I say last year? It was last year, but it was also last week. We passed out Bible journals. That was our gift. It was journal giveaway Sunday. And normally we give out journal. We give the journal giveaway Sunday, and then the journals are $5 normally. And they usually are. So if you wanted to purchase one for a friend or something, but today, if you didn't receive one, I do have a few extras and I want to give them to anyone who's here that you didn't get one yet. All right. And so they'll be in the back. Also, we have some New King James Bibles. If you don't have a Bible, now you can get them on the phone, like I said, download the Bible app. But if you don't have a Bible, or you're saying, no, I'd really love a paperback Bible, and the New King James is a little bit more understandable than like a King James, although there's nothing wrong with that. There's also a really good translation called the New Living Translation that's very understandable and simple in that sense. Like, simple, I don't mean in a bad way. I mean simple like, wow, I can understand it. I love reading from the New King James. I also love reading from the New Living, and there's other ones. But if you don't have a Bible and you want one, I've got a few in the back as well. And here's what I want to encourage you to do. You grab that journal, and if you got one last week, you use it, right? And it'll tell you right there which chapter to read. You can read one chapter a day, or you can read more. Grab your Bible, grab your journal, and spend the next 3 days seeking the Lord. Now, what does fasting look like? Real quick, fasting takes many forms in the Bible, many forms. I mean, you got people who just fasted from meat. You have people who fasted for a day, for many days. You have people who just drank water for like 40 days. That was, you know, it's crazy, crazy kind of fast, right? But there's all kinds of fasts in the Bible. So it really tells us, even from the Bible itself, that there is no one way to fast. And fasting doesn't change God, by the way. You're not trying to twist God's arm or make him feel bad for you. Fasting changes us. Right. It's something about setting aside things, sacrificing things, putting pause on certain things in our life causes us to become spiritually hungry and spiritually focused. And it can sensitize our spirit because, as many of you know, we live in a physical body, yes, but we have a soul, our mind, will, and emotions, but we are a spiritual being. Really, who we are is we are a spirit. That's who we are at the core of our being, and it's what connects us to God. It's what makes us different, honestly, than any other mammal, okay? Just because there are other there are animals out there that share certain traits like us, like mammals, does not mean we're animals. We're not. We didn't come from animals. We're not animals. And what distinguishes us is because we're made in the image of God, and a key thing behind that is because of our spirit. We just got a dog, by the way. I bought a dog, I adopted a dog. I mean, I pay a little money, so I don't know. Did I buy it? Did I adopt it? Whatever. Okay. But we just got a dog, real cute dog. His name is Rubble. And everyone thinks I say Rebel. And I'm like, I'm a pastor. I can't say have a dog named Rebel. No, I'm messing around. I'm messing. Yeah, his name's Rubble. He's a cute dog, beagle mix, stubborn. And but actually really very loves people and very friendly dog and stuff, but definitely a little stubborn. And about a year and a half old, and he's funny looking, I'll tell you. He's so cute. He's like this medium-sized dog, short hair, doesn't really, you know, brown, doesn't shed much. But he's missing some hair, right? Like, I guess he was born with a little bit of hair gone from, he's a little bald, you know what I'm saying? So John Paul feels really close to him. But I'm missing. So he's got a little bald head here, and he doesn't have a ton of fur, you know, on his chest, I don't know what happened, but that hair's not coming back, you know? So he looks a little funny like that. We think he's cute. And but the funny thing is when everybody, if you ever come over to my house and you meet him, he's friendly. When he looks at you, he'll look at you, and I guarantee you, the first thing you're going to be like, oh, he's funny looking. His teeth are all funny, and his jaw's like it's like someone punched him or something, but I think he was just born like that, all right? And he's funny looking. But what was my point behind that? Oh, yeah, we're not dogs. Oh, yeah, that's what I was trying to say. Yeah, the dog has feelings. The dog gets afraid. The dog is friendly. The dog's social. But the dog doesn't have a spirit. You preach the gospel to that dog, he's not getting saved. You know what I'm saying? Now, I'm not saying dogs aren't going to be in heaven and all that. I'm not trying to go there. But I'm saying that the dog's not going to get saved. The dog doesn't sin. You know what I'm saying? He doesn't have the same kind of, he's not made in the image of God. He doesn't have the same authority or identity that we have as human beings. We're the ones who sinned against God. We'll be held accountable, and we're the ones who need a Savior. Dogs are precious to the Lord. Of course, he created all animals, but they're different from us. So we have this spirit, and when we fast, it connects us to the Lord, and it sensitizes our spirit to be able to hear God. And so it could be fasting a meal. It could be fasting sugar. It could be fasting TV. In fact, just start with that one, right? TV, video games, all that. Just fast that a little bit, you know? I mean, that can be a big sacrifice for some people, right? But set that aside so you have more time with the Lord. And spend some time in prayer. Spend some time, a little bit more time in the Word, and say, God, speak to me for this year. What is my territory? What are my promises? What do you want to do? And some of it will be this year. Yeah. Some of it he's going to speak to you and it might take longer. That's okay. But some of it is right now. And if you would fast in these next 3 days, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and sensitize your heart, Lord, speak to me. He'll give you something and give strength to you for you to rise up and take it. Amen? So I sense just, I'm inviting you. You don't have to. No pressure. I'm not going to call you up. Did you do it? You know? But I'm inviting you, hey, let's fast. Let's seek the Lord Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And then on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. during our normal Bible study, we're going to have a time of worship and prayer, kind of culminating. Shoot, bring your food. One time we did this fast for like 21 days and somebody fasted like sugar. And dude, she came to the prayer meeting with a tub of red vines. I'm not joking. I was like, hey, you slow it down or a little slow it down. But I was eating some too. Okay. But, you know, a lot of times, there's times I'll fast and I'll just drink water and such. There's times I'll just do juice, but sometimes I'll just do vegetables. You know, I'll just eat vegetables. And other times I'll just fast one meal a day for a few days or even just one day a week. Sometimes I'll just fast a meal and it'll just cause me to remember that God is more important than food and everything else. Okay, so I'm encouraging us to just seek the Lord and fast and pray and use your Bible and your journal. But again, this is what I sense the Lord saying. The Lord is saying, get up. Get up. It's time to go in and take your land. It's time to go in and possess your land. There's times to wait, and then there's times to take what God has given you. And a lot of times, we're thinking that, no, it's not time yet. It's not time yet. Or we'll even say things like, God, how come you haven't done this yet? How come you haven't done that? And we'll go and we'll start praying. It's not wrong to pray, but we're praying. And God's thinking, wait, you asking me to do something? Do you get what I'm saying? God is saying to Joshua, okay, get up, cross that Jordan, lead them, take that land. And God is saying, listen to the things that God is saying to him. Listen to what God is saying to him. If you'll get up and go, God is saying to him, verse 5, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. God is saying, listen, if you'll go, I will be with you. Amen. Now, what if Joshua was just like, okay, God, we're ready for you. Go, God. You get it, God. Come on. And what if Joshua stayed on that side of the Jordan? What would his prayer sound like? Hey, God, how come you haven't given us the promised land yet? Come on, how come you haven't answered my prayers yet? Come on, how come it hasn't happened yet? And you know what? That sounds like a lot of Christians. Just because God promised it in the Bible does not mean you're going to have it. We have to possess these things by faith. And a lot of times, faith is spelled D-O. Or spelled R-I-S-K. Sometimes faith is that you get up and you move and God says, I'll be with you. I will fight for you. I'll remove all those enemies. But listen, until you get up and go, you're not going to see the miracle. You get what I'm saying? You've got to get up and go. You've got to move. There's times to wait for the promise. And you got to know that you got to know when to wait and when to go. But when God says it is time to go, it's time to go. So what's the Lord saying to you? What area of your life have you been praying and asking God, and that prepares you? What areas has God been promising to you, and you're saying, yeah, I believe it. And faith has been rising in your heart, and that's a good thing. But now God is saying to you, hey, maybe he's putting his finger on something in your life, and he's saying, it's time, now, go, do it. And the Lord is saying, I'll be with you. Now listen, why is it that God says to Joshua, more than anything else in this passage, be strong and courageous? 3 times in this passage, he says to him in verse 6, be strong and of good courage. In verse 7, only be strong and very courageous. Then again at verse 9, he ends it by saying, have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Why is it that he says that 3 times? Why do we repeat ourselves? For emphasis. Why do we repeat ourselves? So that we get something and drill it into our hearts. God is saying to him, listen, I'm going to be with you. It's time to go and take that land. But here's what you're going to need. Strength and courage. And this is the truth. I believe that the number one thing that hinders people from grabbing hold of either fulfilling their calling or taking hold of the promises of God in their life could be blessings for relationships, could be financial blessings, could be breakthrough in their life, could be bringing change to your life. The number one thing that hinders people, fear. It is the enemy. And here's the crazy thing about God. Between you and your promised land, there is always a Jericho. David had his giant. The Israelites had their Red Sea. Jesus had the cross. There is always an enemy between you and your destiny. There is always a giant, always a Jericho between you and your promised land. Always. And you can't go around it. You can run, you can hide, but you won't have your promised land. There's always a Jericho before your promised land. What's yours? What tempts you to despair? When you're looking at your calling, what tempts you to wimp out? When you're looking at your destiny, what tempts you to despair? When you're looking at your promised land, what tempts you to be paralyzed and not move forward? Because that's what fear does it not? Fear will paralyze you. It will shut you down, and it will keep you right where you're at, hiding. That's what fear does. In fact, often fear masquerades as laziness. The people that I have mentored, that have struggled with laziness, I guarantee it, the root has always been fear. Which is great, because I can look beyond quote-unquote laziness, and I can see the real issue. In fact, the Bible makes it very clear in the book of Proverbs that fear is the root of laziness, because it says in Proverbs that the lazy man says, I can't go outside, there's a lion out there. See, sometimes we make up things and make up excuses, or we have our imagination painting a picture of things that we think are going to harm us. I heard a funny story of this kid that was at church, and this church was awesome. Was doing a big kickoff, you know, like we've done before, and they were trying to reach people, and so they had Barney come. They had Barney. You know Barney? They had Barney. 7 foot, a man in a purple 7 foot dinosaur costume comes to their church, and they thought this is going to be awesome. The kids are going to love it. Well, every kid loves Barney on TV, right? And every parent, it drives them nuts. But when the kid is looking at Barney, and this Barney is 7 feet monstrous purple dinosaur, kids can freak out, right? So there was this kid at this church, they're having this great event, and this kid sees Barney and freaks out. I mean, freaks out. This is like the scariest thing. I mean, this kid's going to have nightmares, he's going to have counseling and all that. This kid's freaking out. And the mom was working in the nursery. You know, she was serving, so she couldn't help. The dad was helping in the worship service with ushering and collecting the offering and all that. But he had to take care of the kid. So he went and got his kid. He got his son, and he tried to calm him down. It's okay. And he finally got him calmed down. And they met in kind of a warehouse, and so they used curtains to kind of section off the thing. And so he said, look, son, the little guy, little toddler, he said, hey, you stay in this little room behind these curtains. I got to do the offering. I'll come back. You'll be just fine. Well, what the dad didn't know was that was Barney's changing room. So here's this son, and the only thing separating the kid from the sanctuary is these curtains, and this kid's in there, and Barney comes in the room, and the kid freaks out, and everybody hears it, the whole church hears, this kid's freaking out, he's freaking out, and the dad doesn't know what to do and such, and because he's doing the offering, and so he's like, okay, I got to go help my son. And Barney, the guy in the Barney costume, he doesn't know what's going on, and he figures, okay, I need to do something to help this kid. So I'll let him know that I'm not really Barney. So he takes off the head of Barney so that he can show him I'm a real person, right? He says, son, you know, boy, little boy, it's okay. And he takes off the head. I'm a real person. And the son says, he ate someone. You know, sometimes Our fears are like that, huh? We just lose it, don't we? We lose it. There are things in our life that we panic over, that paralyze us. And some of our fears are just some dude in a Barney costume. But sometimes our fears are real. Listen, sometimes Jericho's real. You know, that was a real city. Goliath was a real giant of a man who was going to kill David. You know, when those Israelites were going on, leaving Egypt, they really did come up against a real ocean, the Red Sea. I mean, we have archaeological evidence for this stuff. Should we have archaeological evidence for Jericho, too? We have proof that those walls fell straight down, which doesn't happen unless of a supernatural activity. And we have evidence of these things, proof that the Bible's true. These were real things, and these people were facing life and death situations. And some of the things you're facing, some of your fears are Barneys. But some of your fears are real Goliaths. Maybe it's making a change in your life that you know you need to make. Maybe it's going and getting that job or getting a better one or moving into a better place or a better situation. For some people, it might be leaving a relationship that's hurting them. For others, it's the fear of even ever getting into one. There's fears of failure, fears of rejection, fears of abandonment. There's so many things that hinder us. I've seen many people not go after their calling because of fear, whether it be fear of lack, or go after that job because of the fear that they were stupid. And it hindered them. And it's not to say that we don't have those obstacles in our life. Maybe challenges. Maybe things that we're not good at. Maybe fear that someone will reject us or say something mean, and they might. But the question is, who's bigger? Because God was not telling Joshua, oh, there's no Jericho. Oh, there's no giants in that land. Oh, it will be easy. You won't have to work at all. No, that's not what he told Joshua. He said, no man will be able to stand before you. I don't care how big that man is. I don't care how many of them there are. They will not be able to stand before you. And listen, it's the same for us, for those of us who are in Christ, who have authority in Jesus' name. No demon can stand against you. No person, no demon, no army of demons can stop you if you will trust God and do what he says. You cannot be stopped because God says, I am with you. And I believe this is why God is saying to Joshua in verse 7, the way he says it, he says, only be strong and courageous, because God is saying, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to fight for you. I'm the one who's going to make this happen. Here's what you need to do. Only be strong and of great courage. Only be strong. He's saying to him, if you can trust me and take the risk, you'll see I'll come through. Amen. See, some of the things that you're going to have to face, some of the things you're going to have to sacrifice, those are real things. But will the Lord come through for you? Will the Lord reward you? Will the Lord answer you? Will the Lord do it for you? Yes, he will. It's not to say that you won't face the fear or face those enemies. It's that the Lord will give you the breakthrough. So I don't know what your Jericho is. It could be education. It could be some person. It could be that voice in your head that's been telling you for years that you're not good enough or you can't do it. And whether that voice came from somebody that you knew or maybe just your own or maybe the devil or maybe all of them. I don't know what your Jericho is. Maybe it's fear of asking for help. And I don't know what your promised land is either. But between you and your promised land, there's a Jericho. And it's got to come down. Mm-hmm. But it's not coming down until you go in. That's number one. If you're going to take your promised land, you've got to move forward. Now, let me end with this. So you remember when the Israelites, they came out of Egypt, and God purposely led them to the Red Sea. Purposely. I didn't catch that before. Purposely led them there. And God actually said, yeah, I'm going to lead them to this Red Sea because the Egyptians are going to chase them, and I'm going to destroy those Egyptians, and I'm going to get glory. At first I thought, I'm reading this, I'm thinking, God, why'd you lead them there? And then I realized, oh, God does that. He'll lead you right to your Jericho. He'll lead you right to your Red Sea. He'll lead you right to your Goliath. And here's why. Because he wants to take it down. Just like he drowned those Egyptians in the Red Sea, he wants to drown your fear and your enemies. He wants to destroy what has been hindering and defeating you so that he is the only one exalted in your mind, so that he is the only one glorified. He wants to whoop them. He doesn't just want you to be able to like go around it and be like, whoo, that was easy. Wow, right. And the reality is life isn't easy. It isn't easy. And we have fears on the inside and we have obstacles on the outside. And God is saying, but yeah, but if you'll move forward, oh, those walls will come down. And here's what God said to the Israelites in Exodus 14, listen to these words. And I believe these are the prophetic words of the Lord to you today. So here's what happened. They're standing by the Red Sea, and so they have an ocean in front of them, and the Egyptians come chasing behind them, and they have an army behind them. They are surrounded by their fears. They're going to die if God doesn't come through. And here's what happened. The Israelites start freaking out. They just start freaking out. Like many of us do. And here's what the Lord said to Moses in verse 11. Oh, no, I'm sorry, not in verse 11. This is what the Lord said to Moses in verse 15. And the Lord said to Moses in Exodus 14, verse 15, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. But lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And indeed, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians and they shall follow them. So I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, his chariots and his horsemen. Then the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gained honor for myself over Pharaoh, his chariots and his horsemen. Do you hear what God is saying? He's saying, you got an army behind you and you got a Red Sea in front of you. And you say, I don't know what to do, God. If you don't come through, I got nothing. I don't know what to do. And God says to you, move forward. Move forward. And you know, that's the exact opposite of what your fear is telling you to do. Your fear is telling you, don't do anything, give up, stay put, keep the status quo. And God is saying to you, no, move forward. Get up and go. And you say, but there's an ocean in front of me. And he's saying, you move forward, I'll part it for you. God is saying, I've got these promises for you. And you say, but there's a Jericho. There's these giants in my land. There's some real obstacles, God. I'm freaked out. I can't do it. And God says, I already knew all that. But God is saying, but if you will move forward, I will take that down. Do you see what the Lord is saying? It's time for you to rise up. It's time for you to move forward. The Lord is saying, if you will get up and go, I will be with you. I will cause that giant to fall. I will cause those Jericho walls to fall. I will move every mountain out of your way. I will part the Red Sea. I will make a way where there is no way. I will fight for you. See, it's time, church, to rise up and to take our promised land. And the Lord is saying, but only be strong and courageous. I'm going to give it to you, but be strong and courageous. Let me end with this about my own life. We got to wrap it up here, but you can come up, yeah. Sometimes I want the Lord to tell me exactly what to do. And he does promise to direct our steps. But that doesn't mean we can manipulate God and make him tell us things that he's not ready to tell us. And there are many times in my life where I'm telling God, God, I need your wisdom. I need you to speak to me. And so tell me exactly, tell me. And he doesn't. In fact, when we moved here to St. Louis and we're starting this church, we could not find a facility that would work on many levels. We couldn't find it. We were down to the week We were down to, if we didn't find a place that week, we wouldn't be able to launch in our timeline and all these kind of things. And we had prepared everything except we hadn't done all the marketing yet. And I'm crying out to God. I'd never faced this before. I mean, it's like do or die. And Michelle and I got together and we prayed together in faith and we took authority over some things. I'll share some more details next week of how that breakthrough came. But the Lord came through that day. Came through and we started that marketing and we launched, as many of you know. He came through. But I was freaked out. I didn't know what to do. I'd looked everywhere. And so our fear tells us, my fear told me, I can't find anything, right? And here I am, I'm wanting God, tell me what building it is. Tell me where, tell me which one. And he never did. I'll tell you what God kept telling me though. God, give me wisdom. What do I do? And the Lord would just say, keep looking. Keep looking. Don't give up. I'm with you. Just keep looking. You know, you'd want the Lord to tell you the exact location, right? I've seen the Lord do this on so many areas. I'm starting to catch on here. I've seen the Lord do this with jobs. I've seen the Lord do this with ministry things. Where I want the Lord to tell me how it's going to happen. He doesn't tell me how it's going to happen, but he tells me what I need to do. And a lot of times what I need to do is not give up. And you know, if I didn't listen to the Lord, we wouldn't be here. Right? The Lord provided this facility. He'll provide the next one as we grow and such. But listen, that's what the Lord told me. He said, keep going. Keep going. Don't give up. Keep looking. You'll find it. And guess what happened? We did. And that's what I'm saying to you. The Lord's saying, move forward. Blow past those fears. Blow past those fears and move right into what God has for you. Amen.